Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. Missing and exploited children are in grave danger here in the United States, and Florida is no exception. In fact, with our location, climate, and extensive travel in and around the state, Florida could be a hotbed of opportunity for these crimes. Recently, the U.S. Marshals Service in the Central District of Florida led a multi-agency and multi-discipline task force in what became one of the largest efforts in recovering critically missing children. 60 children were recovered, 8 suspects were arrested, and care was provided for those kids aged 9 to 17. Deputy U.S. Marshal Mario Price and others join us today with Operation Dragon Eye on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida News Network. We pick it up in moments.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the Tax Pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Boaters of Florida, before you hit the water, hit download on the DECKE app. That's D-E-C-K-E-E. In partnership with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, DECKE helps you and your family boat smarter and safer. You can file your float plan, get real-time weather and safety alerts, or brush up on local regulations all in one free app. Whether you're fishing the flats or cruising the coast, DECKE's your first mate for safety. Download DECKE today. Explore, prepare, and get out there, Florida.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-961-1527. That's 800-961-1527. 800-961-1527.
Sounds good.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Major operation by the U.S. Marshals Service and affiliated organizations recently here in the Sunshine State. Deputy U.S. Marshal Mario Price is with us, and we've got several other guests we'll bring into play as the hour goes on. Mario, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. Good to have you along with us this weekend.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
This was Operation Dragon Eye. You had 60 at-risk children rescued during this operation, and it wasn't just the Marshal Service, other law enforcement and other service agencies involved in this. Tell us how the concept came about, and then we'll talk about the specifics as we have the opportunity.
Yeah, it's been an evolving process, Bill. It just really started with an understanding that this is a problem set that transcends, you know, simply law enforcement. There are a lot of other entities that are involved in helping move this mission set forward. And, you know, it started with the basic premise that there was an understanding that we were likely going to recover a number of kids. We didn't have a number in mind. But once those kids were recovered, you know, history tells us that, you know, some of these kids weren't going to be in the greatest situations and that we needed to have resources available to best help these kiddos. And, you know, over the last several years, we've partnered with more and more organizations that have a similar interest in this space. And this is what we came up with.
The words that were used, and I'll let you define it for us, you're looking for critically missing children. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm going to defer that question to either Bill or Stacy. They work at the program level at headquarters, who can best answer that question. Bill, Chief?
I can jump in with that for the critically missing children, we try to focus on the kids that are at the highest risk of victimization or being victimized, whether it is human trafficking, sexual abuse, being forced into other criminal behavior. Many of them have either mental health or medical conditions, and a lot of them are missing from care. They've already been removed from a terrible home environment, and they're very vulnerable to be exploited. So those are the kids that we really try to focus on.
All right. And as you get involved in a mission like this, Mario, let's talk about the agencies involved, law enforcement and then the service agencies as well. Who all got involved in this particular task force operation?
You know, we had, 15 to 20 different agencies, and while I don't have an exact number, there were several agencies that leaned on the assistance of other agencies that weren't directly involved with the operation. But, five local law enforcement agencies, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, Pasco County Sheriff's Office, additionally, the St. Petersburg and Tampa Police Departments. You know, as far as social service agencies, as well as other youth service agencies, Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, Florida Department of Children and Families. We also had statewide from the office of the Florida Attorney General, serving as our lead prosecutor, as well as, our legal advisor. And in addition to those agencies, we had a number of non-governmental organizations that participated. We got Andrew and Ann here from Family Support Services Suncoast, which supports Pinellas and Pasco counties. We also have Kim Figueroa online today. She works for More to Life as a victim advocate and a number of other agencies. Natasha wasn't able to make it on. She's the president and CEO of Redefining Refuge. They work the contracted human trafficking representative for Hillsborough County and a number of others. So it takes a village to raise a family, especially to raise a kiddo. We found a number of kiddos who needed the services of all these agencies, and that's how this operation transpired in the way that it did.
It's a lot to put together. Did task force work myself in West Virginia when I was on the job, but that was a group of drug cops all working together with various agencies, pretty much the same mission every day. This sounds like a lot to put together. We explore it this weekend here on the Florida Roundtable.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768. 800-762-2768. Call now.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Ho-ho, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Bill Mick back with you on the Florida Roundtable with Deputy Marshal Mario Price and a cast of characters that we will introduce as the show goes through. And I appreciate all of you taking the time and joining us this morning. Kim, Darby, Andrew, Ann, Logan, and Bill, all part of this massive rescue of children. And one of the things when I talked to Marshal Berger, Bill Berger, who is the U.S. Marshal for the Central District of Florida, this one of the most successful child rescue operations in Marshal Service history. Congratulations, you guys. Job well done. Mario, it had to be a Herculean task to put it together. As you bring all of these agencies together, law enforcement and service agencies, you had a logistics nightmare, kind of, didn't you?
I mean, this is several years in the making, Bill. So, I mean, we've had a couple opportunities to kind of work through previous problems. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a logistical nightmare. Let's use the word challenge.
Okay, go with that.
But, you know, what I'll tell you is that, you know, everybody that partnered in this operation had equal levels of commitment to getting this thing right. You know, obviously when you're working with, you know, we're not just working with law enforcement agencies, we're working with, you know, a number of different agencies with their own interest sets, you know, in this particular mission space. You know, but we always kept the common mission of making sure that we were doing what was best for the kids. And that made it easier. You know, Andrew, I don't know how you feel about that, you know, as a non-law enforcement partner. You have anything to add there?
I mean, I work with law enforcement pretty much every day. And, you know, efforts to try to locate these children when they take off. But yeah, it is challenging. I mean, it's a different approaches on how we go out and look for these kids. Whereas, I mean, I can go look on social media, put up flyers, ask some questions. Law enforcement has more success knocking on doors and getting information, more relevant information from people that are in these homes, in the communities where these kids are. So it's tough, but it's fun at the same time, in where, you know, it brings everybody to the table, and everybody's got a different skill set that just plugs away at locating these kids. And it's incredible.
Very rewarding on the back end, I would imagine, too.
Very. This year I didn't have a whole lot of youth out on the run, but still, I mean, if one, you know, a kid from another circuit needs information found on him, we all jump on it. And it's a team effort. It's not just a singular person. It's definitely a team effort on the information and locating.
Reported recovery here is 60 children, 17 boys, 43 girls. In general, are these kids who have been runaways, or they've been placed in homes and then run away there? Or are these kids who have been abducted somewhere and brought into a life like this? Or is it across the spectrum?
It was across the spectrum, Bill. Yeah, it was across the spectrum, to answer that question real simply. You know, some runaways, some of those runaways were community kids, you know, were just running away from, you know, their guardians for whatever reason. You know, we also had a number of foster youth, you know, that fall under the Florida Department of Children and Families who ran away as well. And, you know, the situations that these kiddos were in were across the gamut, right? You know, some, you know, kids running away just because they were, you know, mad at mom and dad, you know, over chores. You know, other kids, you know, have been perpetually on the run, and in some pretty bad situations. So,
do you find most of them are from the state of Florida, or some of them have come from out of state as a runaway, or maybe been transported here?
Yeah, I mean, we found kids, again, in a number of different situations. You know, we're primarily looking for kids missing out of Hillsborough, you know, Pinellas and Pasco counties. You know, we kind of rounded that out by looking for some kids, you know, across the state that we knew were missing from these particular areas. Mm-hmm. You know, just real quick, but I'd like to introduce Linda Rosario from, you know, Children's Network of Hillsborough County. You know, and she might be able to provide some feedback here as well.
Linda, thanks for joining us on the roundtable this weekend. What's the focus of your job? What are you looking for in a situation like this with Operation Dragona?
So first and foremost, you know, the focus is on safety and making sure our kids are safe. Obviously, we want to, you know, partner with law enforcement to make sure that the people that are victimizing and harboring our kids are addressed in the most appropriate way possible through the criminal courts. But first and foremost, it's around safety and trying to pull these kids back in. I think then in a lot of situations, our kids run because of the trauma and things that they're experiencing in their home. And a lot of our traffickers and a lot of our people that are harboring them, they say the right things. And they're able to pull our kids in by saying the right things and groom them into a lifestyle that they really don't have the capacity for understanding. And because of that very, very slippery slope, it's difficult to pull them out because they learn this dysfunction and this danger as a normalized day to day for them. And so it's almost an unlearning as well as pulling them in for safety. So our focus is making sure our kids are safe, both community kids as well as kids in the dependency system, because they really are who we work for.
All right, very good. It sounds like a very stiff challenge when a child's been in a circumstance like this for so long, that retraining them to think about their life, their worth, what their future could be. Mario, it's a good thing that you bring these agencies in when you rescue these kids. And that's an opportunity maybe many of them were never going to have.
Yeah, agreed, Bill. And that's why we just kind of brought people in across the gamut. You know, I've been dealing in this space for, you know, for a couple of years now. You know, you've got people that were part of this operation that forgot more last night than I ever knew about missing kids. You know, one of the things, and, you know, hopefully Kim can chime in here as she's driving over here to Hillsborough County, is that, you know, a lot of these kids have had negative experiences with law enforcement. So they see that badge and automatically shut down. Sure. You know, they're thinking something negative, you know, they're going to throw me back over here, or they're going to take me to jail. You know, it's important to have these child welfare agencies and social service agencies available to make sure that we're not only doing what we need to do as law enforcement, but once those kids are, you know, are in our custody, that we have resources that are directed towards them. You know, we found out a lot this year and in previous years is that the kids don't want to talk to cops. They want to talk to people they know. You know, they want to talk to their case manager. They want to talk to their victim advocate. You know, they want to, you know, to get some medical help. You know, Kim's a victim advocate, a fantastic one. And I think she can probably speak a little bit more intelligently about that than I can. Kim
Figueroa, yes. Thank you for being here. Yeah, let's talk about your role in this and how these kids do transition.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being here. It's an honor to be here, actually. But so basically, you know, it's kind of like Deputy Price was saying, you know, having a familiar face, having someone that can identify with their trauma is really what speaks volumes to them. So I'm going to piggyback just a little bit off of what Linda even said. So a lot of their vulnerabilities start before they even have a chance at life, when they're in their adolescent years. And so these layers of trauma build up, not knowing how to deal with them, express them, sort through their emotions. And then they get involved through their vulnerabilities with trafficking. And then, like she said, it's a slippery slope to really get them out of that. And so when I'm there, boots on the ground, able to meet them face to face, someone that has lived experience myself and able to identify with those past traumas and let them see what hope looks like on the other side, I think that gives those kiddos a little bit of glimmer of like, wow, like I do have a chance at life, right? And so they may not take it that time, they may not take it 3 years from now, and they may not take it 7 years from now, but at the end of the day, they will always remember that I was seen, I was heard, and I had a voice in that moment. And so going back off of what Mario stated, like they've already been taught by traffickers and people that exploit them for their vulnerabilities, you can't trust law enforcement. And this for various reasons. And a lot of times, unfortunately, the traffickers look like they're telling these kiddos the truth when we make contact with law enforcement as a victim and we're being criminalized. So if we're not being treated with, you know, an approach that's trauma-informed and being treated like a victim and given those services and the opportunities like what the U.S. Marshals did during this operation, then it looks like the traffickers telling the truth every time that we're arrested on a charge that's that is correlated to our trafficking experiences in the life. And so, therefore, we already have a wall built up with law enforcement. I'm not going to trust them. Why do I need to trust them? Like, they're just going to send me back to DJJ or jail again. So, therefore, there's already that barrier and, like I said, lack of trust with the kiddos, with law enforcement. So when you put a victim advocate boots on the ground with law enforcement that can look them in the eyes and say, hey, I see you. I've been there. We're here to support, you know, to offer you the support and services that you truly do deserve. We're not locking these kiddos up. We're offering them all the services from medical to, you know, long-term aftercare recovery. A lot of us agencies that are involved with these operations, we're following them long-term. So we're still involved in these kiddos' lives, ensuring that they have all services in place and all their needs are met, and that they actually have like a life coach and a mentor and an advocate to be able to walk alongside them through their trauma and help them heal from it to get to the other side. So that's that glimmer of hope that we get to offer. And I tell you what, it's messy, but it's beautiful all at the same time.
Oh, it certainly sounds like it. Mario, let me bring it back to you. Having been on the job myself, the goal is arrest the bad guys, keep them from perpetrating these crimes again. But at the same time, are you recovering the kids at the time of arrest? And do you have these service agencies with you or readily available when that first contact is made?
Readily available, you know, and we're still, you know, going through the after action process of this operation and kind of analyzing the results of previous operations to decide what that best looks like as a practice here in Middle Florida and across our agency. You know, a couple of things that we were able to stand up pre-op were a place that has been denoted as the hub. What this actually was a partnership with BayCare. You know, unfortunate they couldn't be here today. You know, but they stepped up big. What they did is offered medical services to all these kiddos, you know, from across, you know, three major, you know, community areas. You know, within the hub, we also staffed it with social service agencies, victim advocates, child welfare agencies, et cetera, kind of one-stop shopping for anything that these kids might need, you know, once they were recovered. So, yeah, we had a number of resources available kind of throughout the operation.
It adds a factor. I was fortunate in my days that we would arrest the bad guys. We'd take them and process them and start dealing with the prosecution. Rarely did we have a child victim in those circumstances. I'm glad to see that focus is there, and that's a big part of what Operation Dragon Eye was about. We explore it more as we continue here on the Roundtable.
In Florida, a crash happens every 44 seconds. One in seven involves a distracted driver. Distractions aren't just about texting. Eating, adjusting the radio, loud music, even talking to passengers can take your focus off the road. Anything that takes your eyes, hands, or mind off driving is a danger. Texting? It does all three. Drivers, stay focused. Passengers, help. Don't distract. A few seconds of attention can save a life. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Cronk witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the sparkle effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
We continue talking Operation Dragon Eye here on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick, Deputy Marshal Mario Price, and a cast of very dedicated people involved in this operation have joined us for the roundtable this weekend as we explain to you this great task force job of rescuing 60 kids that were critically missing kids, and we defined that earlier in the show. And it's beyond just arrest of bad guys, Mario. It's services to these kids, so we have a chance of keeping those kids from becoming perpetual victims or maybe walking into a life of crime themselves. Maybe some of them have been there already. You were mentioning an organization called The Hub. Tell me what was happening there.
Yeah, it was kind of headquartered out of BayCare, a BayCare medical facility where we had an entire wing dedicated to specifically this operation. As I kind of was alluding to earlier, it was more than medical staff, child welfare staff were there, social service agencies, victim advocates. We just kind of thought about, what would any kid that was just picked up off the street in any situation potentially need? And we tried to have those resources available, within that particular, place. And I think we were largely successful. All the kids didn't, love going there. There's always that fear of the unknown. But, once the kids were actually there, saw some friendly faces, what we found out is that a lot of these kids haven't had medical care in a long time. A lot of these kids hadn't had any type of psychological care. Just someone to talk to, someone that they trusted to talk about the situations that they've been through. And I think in that regard, we've had a couple of iterations of the Hub. I think this is year three where we put something like that together. And I think it's a fantastic concept.
Is this kind type of operation going on across multiple districts across the state and even the country? Or is every district somehow focused on something like this?
Chief or Bill, I think you guys have a better vantage point from where you sit than I do.
Hi, Bill. This is Chief Stacy with the Missing Child Unit. I just want to comment on that and say that we do have, across the nation, we do have various district offices that are conducting missing child operations. I can absolutely speak to say that nothing has been hosted to the level of what Dewsom Price hosted it at, but it has been, we are conducting these across the nation, and they come in various formats. Sometimes they can come in the form of a two-week, what we call surge-style operation, which is very similar to what Deputy Price hosted. We have some districts across the nation that host their operation over the course of a month or maybe 2 months and just kind of pick away at their cases. So across the nation, we have a handful of operations that are going on right now. And again, they just take on different styles, shapes, and formats.
Well, let me stay with you on that for a minute or two, because in my experience, an operation like this is going to lead to potentially other informants, leading to other folks involved. Is that something this task force stays together for, or do you pass that off to other law enforcement, whether federally or state or local, or maybe form another task force for following up on that? What's the follow-up on the criminal side of this?
Go ahead, Chief.
No, that's okay. I was going to say that, and that's a great question. And just to kind of throw it out there before Deputy Price speaks, as far as our role, the Marshal Service role within the missing child space, you know, our role is solely to go out and find that child. We aren't really responsible for any further investigations as far as crimes against these children. Our role is to work with our state and local partners to essentially find these critically missing kids.
Mario, anything to add on that front?
Yeah, I mean, there's some flexibility there. You know, obviously, I defer to the chief and Phil, you know, when I'm kind of getting general guidance as for what these operations are supposed to look like as the chief of the program and the program, director. But I also got some guidance, you know, here locally, you know, from the marshal and my chief. Marshal Berger, this is a mission that's near and dear to his heart. He was a foster parent for many, many years. And he's seen, you know, the trials and tribulations that these kiddos go through, and the guidance that, you know, he gave me was, we can't control what these kids are going to do based on individual situations, right? You know, some of these kids are ready to accept, care and a change of life, and that's fine. You know, other kids aren't ready for that, and some of those kids have ran again. What we can control as law enforcement and the broader community is the environment. So, you know, when information came in that, you know, one of these kids was being put in harm's way by anybody, you know, the guidance I got locally from, you know, Marshal Berger was to, target those individuals criminally. And that's exactly what we did.
Fantastic. I can imagine Florida is a favored location for this kind of activity due to a number of reasons. It sounds like it would be fairly active and that there would be something like this. You could be engaged in this daily, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I got a little long-winded there, and I didn't, you know, answer your question in its entirety. You know, what I explained kind of, you know, through the planning process of this operation is, you know, this isn't just a two-week operation where, you know, we're going to get a bunch of stats and then high five. What we're really trying to establish here in Middle Florida is a template for how we can conduct business on a day-to-day basis. You know, what we're finding, you know, being a couple operations deep now, working with basically the same team, is that this model scales, right? Obviously, you know, every day you're not going to have all those resources available, right? But, you know, just having access to, DCF, having access to the NGOs, having access to, you know, Andrew and, you know, and Linda's teams out there, when we find these kiddos. So, you know, you're not scrambling once you actually find the kids as law enforcement. So I hope that answers your question a little bit better. We're trying to create a path for how we can conduct business on a day-to-day basis. And the operation is just a means of kind of testing out how we're going to do that business.
I'm kind of curious as to getting these investigations started. Does it happen because kids are run into in a social services situation, or are there informants involved? They work to get, you know, folks into where these kids are to try to pull them out, or does it branch off into different types of investigations like that?
it branches off into several different investigations. And, you know, I'll be short here because I think there's some other people that would probably like to chime in here. But, you know, we're taking information from law enforcement. You know, FDLE is the state repository for missing kids, you know, so they have a lot of information available. You know, the local law enforcement agencies are ultimately responsible for the individual kids missing from their jurisdictions. They have information. You know, these social service agencies and NGOs deal with these kids day to day, you know, so, you know, they help shape, you know, that information. And, you know, some of the investigations that, you know, culminated from this operation were criminal. You know, other ones were, you know, conducted by DCF and the individual NGOs that, you know, that are taking care of these kids. So, you know, I don't know if Linda or Andrew had anything to chime in there, Kim. You know, you guys might see it from a slightly different angle.
Linda, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, our kids are kids that we know have been in the system. They've come in with an extraordinary amount of trauma. A lot of them are running back to family members. Some of them are running away. Some of them are running into open arms. So we track we have a specialist that's solely dedicated to doing that and working with the different case management organizations to try and track our kids down. She goes out and she does additional work for posting flyers, working directly with law enforcement, making sure information is uploaded in our statewide data system that's available to all social service agencies, all dependency child welfare social service agencies in the entire state. You know, we have the ability to do alerts, that sort of thing. So we try to work very, very closely with law enforcement because we know for every youth that is on the run, there is likely an adult out there helping move that child around, whether well-intentioned or whether their intentions are more nefarious, it doesn't matter. We want our kids to be safe. So that is a huge priority for us. So, you know, that's the bulk of our youth. And we do have some community youth that we do work with within our agency. So those also kind of fold into that from the human trafficking component.
Very good. Kim Figueroa, you have anything to add on that front?
I sure do. And from my perspective and my viewpoint, it's a little different. So not only am I that familiar face or that sweet, loving face that can meet them exactly where they're at, but it's also I primarily specialize in, I know how to speak law enforcement language as well as being trauma-informed. So the child, I do like basically motivational interviewing with them. So when we bring this kiddo in, there may be things that law enforcement knows per se, but we don't technically have a full case to build around it to ensure that justice is actually served on, you know, on the criminals that are doing things to these children. So what I'll do is I'll go in and not only meet their needs, but also motivational interview them to pull information out of them in a loving way to where they feel safe and secure to talk to me and feel open to talk to me. But then I'm able to translate that information back to law enforcement. And then I'm able to prep that child and make sure that
all right, Kim, we will pick it up with you in just a second here on the Roundtable.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
You'll be one smart cookie when you try Bluebell Cookie Cake Ice Cream. A sweet cream ice cream loaded with chocolate chip cookie cake pieces and swirls of chocolate and vanilla icing. This cookie cake ice cream really takes the cake.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help. and you need it now. Call the Tax Pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
When guys like me separate from the military, we tried to move forward. But to truly move forward, we need to take care of our bodies and our minds. I finally understood that after I went to VA. I saw the difference it made to have providers who understood what I've been through and know how to help. I'm getting the highest quality health care at the lowest cost. And I'm telling every veteran I know that taking care of yourself is the strongest thing you can do. Get what you've earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Bill Mick back with you on the Florida Roundtable as we talk with Deputy U.S. Marshal Mario Price and others regarding Operation Dragon Eye, with 60 at-risk children rescued during this two-week operation. But it's more extensive than that. It's got social services involved for the children who are rescued and some who want to be, some who don't, as Mario told us a little earlier. Kim Figueroa, we were talking with you about, from the victim advocate standpoint, what you run into with these kids. Let me let you put us back in shape there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very great for them to be able to have someone to meet them exactly where they're at, to understand their perspective, to hear them, to listen, and to be a voice of reason for them to advocate their needs across the board. But not only that, I specialize in working with law enforcement. So I also hold a title of law enforcement expert, where I'm able to motivational interview the child in such a way where it's so trauma informed they don't feel like they're being interviewed, basically. And I'm able to pull out information from that kiddo of their victimization that actually helps law enforcement build a case against these perpetrators that are actually exploiting our children and taking advantage of them. And then I'm able to also prep them and get them ready for the case building process with law enforcement and should it need to go to trial per se. So I think that's an imperative role that I have, where we are able to actually put these bad actors away and send that signal to the community: you will not exploit our children.
Fantastic. That's good to hear. Also with the Marshal Service's Bill Bolden. Bill, we were talking about how these investigations expand and what happens in the aftermath. Bad guys turn into informants all the time. What happens once you've got the bad actors in custody here, and how do you follow up with these?
What I can say is, as was mentioned earlier, you know, our primary role with the Marshals is finding these kids, and that's how we even got involved in this. Everyone historically knows the Marshals find fugitives. That's our thing. It was recognized back in 2015 that a lot of the same skills and tactics that we use to find fugitives can be used to find these missing kids, because many of them are running away, many of them are hiding, and they're engaging in the same behaviors that a fugitive does. They're trying to avoid being found by their caseworker and by law enforcement. So that's how the Marshals got involved in this in the first place. As far as going out and working these investigations, it's a combination of using, you know, your old school police tactics. We're going to locations, we're doing surveillance, we're talking to neighbors. We're knocking on doors and being out there on the street. And when we put these teams together, what we have is the luxury of one focused mission and time to look for each one of these individual kids. Not saying that a police department such as Tampa or St. Pete or any other agency doesn't care about finding these kids, but these detectives are trying to find these kids at the same time they're handling 100 other cases.
Right.
When we're able to get these dedicated resources together and focus, each team can focus on one kid at a time until they find that kid using those investigative skills. That's where we get, you know, our biggest benefit. We have that federal reach with the Marshals, where we can reach across the state and across state lines to follow up on leads that might be much more difficult for that local police department to follow up on. And in turn, we lean back on the local police officers who have intimate knowledge of their neighborhoods, their streets, as you mentioned, informants, sources. So that combination of the local, federal working together on the investigative side is what's very effective. And as far as, you know, that we're mentioning these suspects, these bad actors, these people that are the ones out there harming our children. When we're out there working these cases, our primary goal is finding that kid and getting them to safety. But at the same time, we're trying to identify witnesses, potential evidence, potential crimes, things that are happening, things that people are doing to exploit these children. And then we're getting that information to the right detectives, the right police department, the right agencies, the prosecutor's offices, state's attorney, attorney general's office, so they can build criminal cases off of the information that we find. So not only are we removing these kids from a bad situation, we're trying to eliminate that bad situation for them to even be able to go back to.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. And again, I know you don't know a number of kids when you go into an operation like this. Certainly the goal is to rescue them. I guess you know the areas, Mario, where to focus and where to start looking through whatever information comes from these sources. And I got a little more than half a minute here for you to give us that answer.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from a variety of different sources. Getting a little background feedback. You know, what I found out, and I know you need a quick answer before we go on break. You know, the NGOs and social service agencies are huge. Law enforcement plays a piece of this, but they know these kids so much more intimately, more than we do. And the information that they provide was so critical to developing, criminal cases and taking some of these kids out of bad situations. You know, I can elaborate on that more in the next segment.
I want to talk about that when we continue here on the Florida Roundtable, the relationship between law enforcement and these service agencies, when we come back on the Florida News Network.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm fine, Bob. I just wish I were ready for mosquito season.
Well, that's why I bought Summit Mosquito Dunks.
Summit Mosquito Dunks?
Yep, they kill the mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite.
How about that? Well, I guess I'm off to the store.
Help protect yourself and your family from diseases caused by mosquitoes with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Make your garden come alive with Quality Green Specialists. Discover Quality Green's beautiful nursery with thousands of fruit trees, fruiting plants, flowers, herbs, and vegetables. Enjoy an explosion of color and see amazing results in your garden. Quality Green has the very best in organic-based, sustainable products to grow everything super productive, strong, and healthy. Quality Green Specialists, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Online at QualityGreenSpecialists.com.
In Florida, 1 in 3 traffic fatalities involves an impaired driver. Drugs, alcohol, even prescription medications can slow your reaction time and cloud your judgment. And when substances are combined, like marijuana and alcohol, impairment multiplies. You might not realize how dangerous you've become behind the wheel until it's too late. A DUI can cost you your license, your freedom, even your life. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Shortness of breath, patients confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping up an interesting edition of the Florida Roundtable. Thank you for spending your time with us here this weekend on the Florida News Network. As we do so, Deputy U.S. Marshal Mario Price was basically in charge of this operation in large part. And Mario, I want to talk about the trust between not just the law enforcement agencies, which can be tough to manage at times, but also with social service agencies that might be a little difficult there in getting that trust level established. You guys have been doing this a while. How long did it take to put it all together?
A couple of years. I mean, we didn't get a whole lot of pushback when we pushed this initiative and offered it to the social service, medical, and child welfare communities. But, you know, getting that kind of, you know, interagency, you know, cooperation and rhythm together, it took a little minute. But we're still getting it right. You know, we're still in the process of morphing that into exactly what looks right. And
well, it's relationships, you know, and they take time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bill.
Kim Figueroa, your perspective on that, please.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's real hard to trust each other, right? But when you have a common goal and a common mission in mind and you stay on track with that mission and vision, then I think that it not only helps build the relationship between one another, but it's kind of like Mario said, we've been at this thing for a couple years now, and we get to learn how each other works, and we get to see, you know, how each one of us, you know, truly do play a part in this, and how we all do different, you know, we all play different roles, and they're all needed. They're all very much needed. And so it's just learning to build that trust and understanding where we all fall within the guidelines.
Kim, your phone is wigging out because you're traveling a little bit.
The child and making sure.
And Kim, sorry, your phone's wigging out a little bit because you are traveling as you've joined us this week. Bill, let's throw this question back at you about the interagency cooperation and relationship development there.
These operations are excellent as a jumping off point. It's a way to motivate everybody and to get everybody in a room together with a common end goal. But what's great about this in Middle Florida and a model that we're really trying to copy throughout the country is not only doing this for this 1 or 2 week period, not only going out there and looking for these kids and having all of these services arranged, but building these relationships so that after this operation's over, it can be an ongoing model to help find these vulnerable children, to help get them off the streets, to get them the help they need, to get the bad guys held accountable. And that's something that is outstanding in this operation here in Florida that we've actually are using as a model and trying to train this and push this out to other locations throughout the country is get these people together, get the right players in a room, build these relationships, and make it an ongoing, lasting effort, not just a 2 week effort.
Good idea. Is there a centralized point if people, the general public, sees a child they think might be missing, might be being exploited? The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. How, what would you recommend there? And I got about 30 seconds for you.
I'm going to defer this to one of our Florida people on what contacts are in your area.
Yeah, I'll hop in right there right quick. I mean, you know, call your local law enforcement agency first. You know, they have the contacts with the rest of the community through operations like this and other kind of collaborative efforts. But, you know, let's keep it simple. You know, start there. You know, if you see an issue, call the police.
Fantastic. Hey, I want to take a minute and say thank you, Mario Price. Appreciate you putting all this together and getting this gang together for this interview this weekend. Everybody, I appreciate your time even more. Appreciate your efforts in rescuing these kids, putting the bad guys in jail, and then giving kids options when they find themselves in that circumstance. Sadly, that does it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Hope you found it informative. We'll be back with you next week here on the Florida News Network.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.